Welcome to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I'm so glad to have you on this journey, and I hope that you enjoy the ride. Welcome back to the Life Rediscovered podcast, where we talk about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm your host, Ryan Reevely, and I appreciate you tuning in to another episode of this podcast. And again, it means a lot to me that you're willing to take the time to listen to this podcast, and it definitely motivates me to keep the podcast going. So today, we're going to continue with this little mini series of episodes called focused on Easter and just looking at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because that's the reason we celebrate Easter. It's not about the bunnies. It's not about the eggs. It's not about the candy and the baskets. All those are fine, but it's not why we celebrate. And so the question I'm going to ask today is, what other evidence is there for the resurrection? Because last week we looked at the evidence found within the gospel accounts themselves, looking at, are these gospel accounts reliable? Should we take them for what they are worth? Meaning, are they actual eyewitness accounts? And we looked at some evidence that is even found, that's found within the gospels themselves to say, yes, they are reliable. And so this week, we're going to wrestle further with the question. This question this week is similar to the one last week, but we're going to look at what other evidence is there for the resurrection, not just from the eyewitness accounts found in the four Gospels. And I know it can be hard to believe something like this happened that long ago. I mean, if we heard something like this happen today, we'd probably be skeptical as well, because even though we have social media and the internet and all kinds of news outlets, we'd still think like this is fake news. And because we're talking about a guy dying on the cross and rising from the dead. And not only that, the story is not about any man, but the God-man, meaning that Jesus was fully God as well as fully man. And it sounds like a crazy made-up story. And it sounds like a story that belongs in Greek or Roman mythology. And so why should we spend our time talking about this story? Why dedicate an entire holiday to this crazy story that doesn't seem to have much impact on our lives today? Well, we need to go back in time and focus on the disciples. So if you look at the disciples, if we're going to answer this question thoroughly, to at least thoroughly in a 25-30 minute podcast, the disciples were a mismatched group of men who would really not be picked to be first on a team of world changers. Okay, so you got Peter, Andrew, who were brothers, James and John were brothers. So there's four of them. They were fishermen, hard workers, but not scholars. And, you know, one thing I read at one point in my own time of ministry and learning is that the disciples, to be a disciple back then of a rabbi, the rabbi would usually choose you. Like you could go ask the rabbi, can I be your disciple? And the rabbi would say yes or no. So you're taking the initiative to hopefully be selected to be a disciple. And if you were rejected, they would say, go ply your trade, meaning go ply the trade, go do the job that your father is doing. So Peter, Andrew, James, and John were probably rejected to being disciples as they went through rabbinical school, which all males their age did. And so when they asked, can I be your disciple, to a rabbi, the rabbi probably told them, go ply your trade. And that's what they did. They went back to being fishermen. Matthew, we've talked about Matthew before. He was a tax collector, hated by his own people because he worked for the Romans and cheated his own people out of money to fill his own pockets. Simon, he was a zealot who was ready to draw the sword at the drop of a hat to go to war against Rome in order to usher in the kingdom of God. Judas was a thief and eventually betrayed Jesus. So This was certainly a motley crew of men that Jesus chose to follow him for 3 years. Now, remember I just said that if you were going to be a disciple of a rabbi, you would go to the rabbi and say, can I be your disciple? Jesus went to each of these men and said, come follow me. He picked them. But for the most part, they were loyal to him. That is, until the end. Because let's focus on Judas, right? Judas decided to betray Jesus. And when he did so, he led a temple guard to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was praying to hand him over to the religious authorities. These religious authorities were trying to get rid of Jesus because they didn't like him. And so when Judas led this temple guard to the garden, this is what is recorded in Matthew 26, verse 56, after the guards seized Jesus. It says, then all the disciples left him and fled. So all of these loyal men who saw Jesus do miraculous things, saw Jesus raise the dead, saw Jesus do the impossible, they abandoned him at the moment of his greatest need. They were scared. They didn't want to be next. They didn't want to be arrested too. Even Peter, the one Jesus renamed the Rock, because Peter's actual name is Simon. Now, it's a little different from Simon the Zealot. There was two Simons. There was Simon the Zealot and then Simon Peter. Jesus renamed Peter because Peter in Greek is Petros, which means the rock. And this rock, this supposedly solid guy, not only did he abandon Jesus, but also denied he even knew him 3 times that night. Peter was supposed to be the leader of the disciples, yet he found himself denying Jesus 3 times before the rooster crowed. And then after Jesus was crucified, the disciples were huddled together behind locked doors. They did not want to be found by the authorities and end up sharing the same fate as Jesus. They were scared, unsure of what was going to come next. They couldn't even go and take the body of Jesus to bury him in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, the owner of the tomb, who donated his tomb so that Jesus could be buried, was the one who asked Pontius Pilate for permission to take down the body from the cross in order to bury him. Now, I will say this, in kind of the defense of the disciples, Joseph of Arimathea was a religious leader who believed in Jesus, so he had already kind of an in. So it wasn't odd for him to go to Pontius Pilate and ask this. But for the disciples, it might be a little bit odd, and they might be risking a lot to do so. So why do we need to know all of this? Because it sets up the rest of the story. Because after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples, he spent more time with them and others before he ascended back into heaven. He was there for another 40 days. So he was on this earth for another 40 days, teaching and preparing his followers for what was going to come next. And before he went back into heaven, he gave his disciples some final instructions. And Luke, and we talked about Luke last week, he was one of the authors, he was the author of, obviously, Luke's gospel. He was a doctor. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, more than likely. But he records in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, so when they had come together, these are disciples and Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, the disciples were still thinking that Jesus was this conquering king, but he didn't come to be a conquering king, at least the first time. He came to be a suffering servant. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So again, disciples are thinking, all right, Jesus is going to conquer the world now and set up the kingdom of God right in front of them. However, that was not the time to do so. That in that moment, it was not the time. Instead, Jesus wanted them to focus on spreading the message of the kingdom, which is the gospel, that he came, he died, and he rose again. But they would need help to do so because, remember, they had just been hiding out from the authorities about a month prior to this. Jesus wanted them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. One of the times that Jesus appeared to them, he appeared to them behind locked doors because they were all there scared, except for Thomas. Thomas came a little bit later. The Holy Spirit would give them the power they needed to further the mission that Jesus started. So What I want to do now is jump forward a little bit, because I want you to see the moment when everything changed. I want you to see the moment when Peter, as well as the other disciples, they go from a denier to a bold proclaimer of Jesus. So maybe you've heard of Pentecost, and this was a feast that the Israelites celebrated. It was to recognize the harvest. It was to be thankful for the harvest. It was an annual feast. And the Holy Spirit comes after Passover. Passover was when the time they would remember the Exodus from Egypt. If you've seen the Ten Commandments, that's what the Exodus is about. Or if you've seen the Prince of Egypt, it's in there as well. And Passover is what they celebrate to remember that time that God delivered their ancestors out of Egypt. And that's when a lamb was slain. And so Jesus died during Passover. So it's very significant. And so after Passover comes the Pentecost, when the Israelites would get together and celebrate and be thankful to God for the harvest. And God was about to do a different kind of harvest. He was about to do a spiritual harvest. And so at this time, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and they began to proclaim the truth of Jesus to all those who are gathered for Pentecost. And Jerusalem was packed with Jews from all over. Because the thing about the Jews is they didn't all just live in Israel. Some lived outside of Israel because of the time when they went through exile. And a lot of them stayed there for generations. And so they were called the diaspora Jews. And so they would still come to the temple in Jerusalem and celebrate these different festivals. And what was amazing about this event is that no matter what language a person spoke, because some of these Jews spoke languages of the places they lived, they were able to understand the disciples in their own language. The disciples are speaking in Aramaic, and let's say there's a Jewish family who's there from Egypt, but they speak Arabic, and they understand what the disciples are saying in Aramaic. Or let's say there's some Jews there from, let's say, Rome, because there were Jews in Rome, and they travel to Jerusalem to be there for the Pentecost festival, and they spoke Latin. Or maybe they spoke Greek, maybe both, but they didn't speak Aramaic because they didn't grow up with it, but they understood what the disciples were saying. It was a miracle of God to bring all the nations to hear the truth of the gospel. So then here comes Peter, and he stood up and he began to speak. Now remember, Jews everywhere, religious leaders everywhere, the same ones who crucified Jesus, or who demanded that he be crucified. And this is the Peter who, only a month prior to this, cowered in fear with the other disciples after he denied Christ three times so that he wouldn't join Jesus on a cross. But this Peter, he was different. He was forever changed by seeing Jesus alive again. And now he had the power of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And this Peter was bold. And this is what he said in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Did you hear what Peter said? It's like he's pointing the finger at Jews who probably a month prior were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said, "This Jesus of Nazareth, yeah, I know the same Jesus that I denied three times and I was hiding from you guys, but now I know this Jesus of Nazareth died and rose again because God raised him up. He is the Messiah, the Savior." This Peter was changed. He was not messing around or tiptoeing around the issue. Peter cut right to the heart of the matter and called out his fellow Jews and even the religious leaders for crucifying Jesus, the one that was promised from the scriptures. So maybe you're already asking this question: why is this evidence of the resurrection of Jesus? When Jesus was dead, Peter was scared. He was not willing to risk his life for this cause any longer because the leader was dead. You see, when a movement arises under a leader, if the leader is killed, the movement dies. Now, not always. I know there's movements that are still going when the leader has died. There's religions who still go on because even though the leader has died. But think about this. The disciples would not have been this bold if Jesus was still buried in the tomb. Because people would be like, we can go to the tomb and see that the stone is still there. He's still in there. So what are you talking about? The tomb was empty. And we talked last week how even the enemies of Jesus couldn't deny that. Peter and the other disciples were bold now. They actually didn't care what would happen to them. They knew their mission was to get the gospel out there. They were willing to risk everything for the gospel because they had seen Jesus alive. Now, you might be saying, like, well, there's other religions who are willing to die. These people are willing to die for their faith. They are, but they're willing to die so that other people are conquered by their beliefs. Peter and the disciples, they are willing to die just for being messengers of the king. Whether the people believed it or not, that was not their concern because they knew they couldn't save those people. They couldn't save themselves. And so they were willing to die as long as the gospel was being preached, as long as the gospel was being spread. They were willing to die for that. They were willing to risk it all. And they did risk everything. All the disciples, except for John. John was exiled to the island of Patmos by Emperor Nero. And he died there in exile. But all the other disciples were killed, were executed for their faith. And I don't know about you, okay? But to me, when I read that, and see how bold Peter was, because he didn't just stop there at Pentecost. I mean, he went on and he was bold. And there was a time when Peter and John were arrested, and it's recorded in the book of Acts, a little bit after this chapter we just read. And they were arrested and they were put in prison, and God delivered them from prison. He came in and opened the prison doors. And this is what he told them: go back into the city and preach. And they did. They were not scared anymore. They were basically saying, like, do what you want, but we're going to keep preaching the gospel because we are convinced that Jesus is alive. And the thing is, like, some will look at the stories of Jesus and the resurrection accounts and say, well, Jesus just didn't rise actually, like, physically. It was just more of a metaphorical resurrection, or it was like a spiritual resurrection. Well, Peter and the other disciples wouldn't have died for a metaphorical resurrection. They wouldn't have gone to be executed and just kept going and kept preaching the gospel and kept, you know, they never denied the resurrection. They never denied Jesus again. They wouldn't have kept doing that if it was a spiritual resurrection or a metaphorical resurrection. Peter and the other disciples saw with their own eyes not only the empty tomb, but Jesus face to face. They ate with him. They hung out with him. Even, I mentioned Thomas earlier. Thomas was one of the disciples, and Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas because he wasn't there behind the lock in the room where the door was locked and Jesus appeared to the disciples. He wasn't there at first, and the disciples saw Jesus, and because Jesus just appeared in that room. And when they went to tell him, they said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the risen Lord. And Thomas was like, I'm not going to believe that unless I see the scars, put my hand in his side, because that's where Jesus' side was pierced with a spear to make sure that he was actually dead on the cross, because that's how the Romans did things. If they saw that somebody looked like they were dead on the cross, they would stab him in the side with a spear. And John's gospel records that blood and water flowed out. Well, that means that when somebody dies, there's a sack of fluid that collects around the heart. And so when that sack is pierced, it looks like blood and water are pouring out, which is actually the blood, the plasma and the blood separating. It's a medical term. You can look it up if you don't believe me. And so Thomas was like, unless I see those things, I'm not going to believe. And then Thomas was with the disciples when Jesus appeared again, and Jesus went right up to him and says, here are the scars. Put your hand on my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas, what's interesting about the story, Thomas doesn't even have to touch Jesus. He says, my Lord and my God. He believes right then because he saw the physical Jesus standing right there in front of him, talking with him and saying, go ahead, touch me. Touch, see the scars. Go ahead. If you need to touch these scars, if you need to put your hand in my side to see where this spear pierced me, if that's what it takes, go ahead. The disciples were forever changed, and they dedicated the rest of their lives to sharing the news, the gospel that changed them to the rest of the world. And even, we haven't even talked about Paul. Paul was a guy who spent his life becoming a religious leader, a Pharisee. Pharisee was one of the religious leaders and knew the law very well and had a zeal for God. And his zeal was so great that when Jesus comes along, he said, there's no way this guy is the Messiah. And he said, when people started following Jesus and proclaiming Jesus, he dedicated his life to stopping them. He arrested them. He killed them. He watched when the first martyr, other than Jesus, Stephen, was stoned to death. He watched, held the robes of those who were doing it and approved. But then Paul encountered the risen Lord face to face on the road to Damascus. And Paul did a 180. No longer was he arresting and persecuting Christians. He joined them and started proclaiming Christ. See, the movement of Jesus is still going today. People are still radically changed by the gospel, like Peter and the other disciples were radically changed. Jesus taught them. Jesus loved them. Jesus changed them. He changed them by conquering death. And that's why the disciples were not afraid of what anybody could do to them, because they're like, look, we follow the king who conquered death itself. To them and to all who follow Christ, if death couldn't beat Jesus, then what in this world could possibly beat the followers of Jesus? The disciples knew from that moment on that nothing in this world could defeat them, because they were disciples of the risen Savior. No longer were they fools, because Jesus had risen. Even if the world called them that, said, oh, you're fools, it didn't matter, because they were not, and they knew they weren't. They were forever changed by the risen Jesus, and that is the story of Easter. That is the powerful testimony of Easter. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone, to the Life Rediscovered podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you learned something. If you did, if you liked it, please share it with others. Make sure you leave reviews on this podcast. Really, you know, I check the reviews and I'd really like to see more people give reviews. Again, honest. You can be honest. If you think this podcast is completely boring, you can say that, okay? I'm not asking for you to lie, okay? If you think it's great, you can do that. Whatever you would like. Love to hear your feedback, because again, it does help me to know, like, okay, what should I talk about now? I'd love to hear your feedback. Love to hear your ideas to say, like, okay, what should I talk about next? What should be the next, you know, topic of episodes, a series? They would, you know, give me a series of episodes that I could talk about. So love to hear your feedback. That's very much appreciated. If you haven't gotten my book yet, The Loving Shepherd, Rediscovering the God of Psalm 23, it's out there on Amazon. Please grab a copy. If you've already read it, leave me a review there as well, and that is much appreciated. So I hope you have a good rest of your week, and until next time, we'll see you. Thank you so much for listening to Life Rediscovered. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a new episode. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Reevely. I would love your support. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.